Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 40, Mizmor Mem. Psalm 40 in my eyes is a direct response to Psalm 27. It provides the answer to a question which was posed at the end of Psalm 27. That psalm, as we recall, dealt mostly with fear of David, his despair, his attempting to rise above those feelings with faith and prayer, calling out to God to please help, to please wait for God's salvation. Now in Psalm 40, David sings a new song and reminds himself that sometimes God answers his call and responds positively to his pleas. Now what's the link between the two psalms which convinces me that they were written one for the other? Well, it starts with the last words of Psalm 27 and the first words of Psalm 40. In Psalm 27, it ends with the words, Kavei el Hashem chazak v'yames libecha v'kavei el Hashem. David says, wait patiently for God. Be strong. Wait patiently for God. He says, Kavei, twice. Psalm 40 begins with, Kavo kaviti el Hashem v'yet elai v'yishma tfilati. I waited patiently for God. Same two words. And he inclined to me. In Psalm 27, he asks God to set me up upon a rock, lift my head above my enemies. In Psalm 40, he says, he brought me up out of a pit and set me upon a rock. In Psalm 27, it says, let me sing a song of praises to God. And in Psalm 40, he says, he has put in my mouth a new song of praise to God. In Psalm 27, he says, if an enemy should rise, I will not fear a war against me. In this I shall trust. In Psalm 40, he says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And finally, in Psalm 27, he says, false witnesses have risen up against me and breathe out cruelty. And in Psalm 40, it says, fortunate is a man who puts his faith in God and does not entreat those who speak forth lies. What's apparent from this comparison is that what David requested in Psalm 27, he acknowledges in Psalm 40. Indeed, the beginning of Psalm 40, King David sings the exact song of praise which he so desperately desired in the other psalm. The truth is that the two psalms share many characteristics, but they're profoundly different. Psalm 27, David questions his trust in God's salvation. But in 40, David speaks in an entirely different tone, one of gratitude, with a request at the end for God to continue his benevolence. The poet devotes Psalm 40 to thanking God and acknowledging the prospect of salvation, an idea about which he was previously unsure. God indeed answers his cries, saves him from perils, and affords him the protection his parents could not. Despite his predicament in Psalm 40, which might also be construed as a distressing situation, David realizes that his prayers were, are, and will be heard. With this fresh perspective, this new psalm reveals a different motif altogether. While Psalm 27 is a cry of pain and suffering, in Psalm 40, the author has matured into realizing the important balance between gratitude and what has been received and request for this to continue in the future. He also felt the need to express his gratitude to a wider audience. In verses 8 to 11, he recalls how he proclaimed these truths to the public. I have preached your righteousness in the great congregation. I did not refrain from my lips. This is an important transition between acknowledging the past and a request for future consideration. The psalm can be divided into three distinct sections, differentiated by a change in voice and then by a change from an acknowledgement to a prayer. The first section, verses 1 to 5, is a speech in Nistar, which we've mentioned several times, talks about when the psalmist speaks about God, but not directly to him. It can be summarized by verse 2, which says, Kavo kaviti Adonai, v'yet elai v'yishma shavati. I waited patiently for God, and he listened to me. V'yaleni mibor sha'on miti te'yaven, v'yakim al sela ragli. He lifted me up on a rock. V'yitem b'fir shir chadash, tila l'Eloheinu. Put a new song in my mouth, a praise to God. Yiru rabim v'yirau v'yivtechu ba'adonai. Many will see it and fear and trust in God. And he concludes with, Ashrei ha'gever sheshem Adonai miftacho v'lo panal rehavim v'shatei kazav. Happy is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not turn to the proud, nor those who go astray after lies. As mentioned, in a remarkable and unusual voice, though Arthur speaks of his past and acknowledges that he had patience, waited, and hoped, and indeed, God inclined. He describes the sorry state he had been in, stuck in a terrible pit, unable to extract himself from it. But God heard his cries, even giving him the ability to sing a new song, a wish he only dreamt of in Psalm 27. Verse 5, he employs the magical word ashrei, metaphysical fortune, which is the one who trusts in the Lord and ignores the liars. He's declaring, at least for the moment, I am ashrei. Now in section 2, a shift in voice takes place, while the theme of acknowledging and thanking God continues. David addresses God directly. He says, many great things have you done, my Lord, my God, too many to tell. Rabot asita ata Adonai Elohai niflotecha umashvotecha eleinu in eroch elecha agida v'adabera atzmu misaper. You've done so many things, I don't even have the words to tell this story. Zevach u'mincha lo chafatzta oznaim karita li ola v'chata lo sha'alta. You did not desire sacrifices. You've not required burnt offerings. Az amarti nevati v'migilat sefer ketuv alai la'asot ritzoncha Elohai chafatzti v'toratcha b'toch me'ai. Then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written about me. I don't understand what this pasuk means. Hopefully we will try. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your Torah is in my heart. Bisarti tzedek b'kal rav hinei svatai lo echla Adonai atai adata. I preached righteousness. Behold, I did not refrain my lips, O Lord, you know. Finally, he says, Tzidkatcha lo chisiti b'toch libi emunatcha u'tshuatcha amarti lo chichadti l'chastacha v'amitcha l'kal rav. I did not hide your righteousness in my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. The first several verses are absolute praise to God. He will declare God's greatness, but acknowledges that he would never be able to finish praising God. He interestingly mentions God's lack of interest in sacrificing, echoing the prophet's excoriations to the people, that God is not interested in hollow sacrifices. He wants your heart, God says, or God does. Verse 8 is enigmatic about a scroll I mentioned earlier. When did he say this? What does it mean that I come? Behold, I come. What scroll is he referring to? Even Ezra understands this to be a reference to David in his crisis state when he made a vow to God. And in this psalm, he is ready to repay that vow. We noted in past psalms that David spoke of a vow to wrest himself from the danger. But Malvin suggests the scroll is not the Torah, but an internal book written in his heart. Radak, on the other hand, believes it refers to the actual Torah and its obligations that emanate from it. David then speaks of his role as educator, preacher to the congregation, not refraining my lips, which is a message that we heard in Psalm 39. This psalm, as opposed to Psalm 27, offers a balance of a third thanks and praise, a third of continued praise and preaching to all, and then the final third turning back to God, reminding him that he's still in a crisis. Verse 12. Do not withhold your compassion from me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me, my iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to see. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, make haste to save me. Let those who seek after my soul to destroy it all be altogether ashamed and confounded. Let those who wish me evil be turned back and put to shame. Yashomu alekev bishtam aurim leheach heach yasisu v'yismchu b'cha kol v'akshecha yomar tamid yidal adnai o'avei tshuatecha v'ani ani ve'evyon adonai yachashav li yezratim v'ati ata Elohai al ta'achar. Verses 12 to 16 remind us of the classic Davidic calls to God. stuck in the mire, surrounded by enemies, urgently calling for God's salvation. Yet, after the first 11 verses, I'm not as troubled by his position, feeling that he is balanced in his attitude to God, between acknowledging the past and praying for a better future. Indeed, he almost concludes the psalm on a happy note with the last verse, speaking of all those who will rejoice in God's salvation. Yet he can't do it. He ends with his classic Va'ani, but I, which turns the balanced psalm towards the negative in saying, I am poor and needy. He expresses an urgency and bolsters it with the last words, which he cries out to God, Al Tachar, don't be late. Nevertheless, the psalm does still answer Psalm 27. When saying, you answered my call, it's not a mutually exclusive statement to his current urgent need for salvation. Life is complex, and he weaves a tapestry of gratitude, joy, perspective, as well as need, prayer, and even urgency. Such is the beauty of Psalm 40.